Welcome to episode
3
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
25th
of
September,
2013. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Hey all nerds, geeks, gamers, and listeners that found their way here by accident. I'm Asheo, and with me today, on the other side of the germ-proof firewall, is the renowned bubble boy himself, Jeppy the Flu-Ridden. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'd ask you how you are, but I don't want to propagate the stereotype of a whinging pom.
Whinging pom?
Yeah.
Listen, I am hard. I stand up against these flu bugs and I say, nay, thou shalt not stop me recording. Also, I am absolutely whacked off my tits on drugs. So I think this is going to go well.
Load them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. Well, guess what? Guess what is special about the number 3? This being episode 3. Look, we're here at 3
you
already.
Mean the number between 2 and 4?
That's that number there. There is that. That's pretty special.
I don't know much about the number between 2 and 4, mainly because when I say it, I sound like a small child.
Oh,
but
okay.
I do know something about the third, this being the third episode.
All right. What do you know about
and
the third?
And that is that the rhyming slang for taking a poop is taking a Richard, as in
Richard
the third.
Exactly.
Third.
Yep, third. I bet only Pommies and Australians get that.
Well, now we've spread it out to the world.
Spread it out to the world,
The more people would say, oh, God, busting for a Richard.
That is one special thing about the third, but I was actually going somewhere else.
Ah.
Okay. Mm. So, all right.
Not the bus.
You got your geek hat on? You got your math hat on?
Hang on a second. Right. Let me get the little beanie with the propeller. There we go.
I wind up. Okay. Spin that propeller. So, any decimal number where the sum of the digits is divisible by 3 is also divisible by 3.
Right.
Oh, you got to think about it. So, let me give you an example.
Yes,
so,
please.
1,182. So, that's 1182. If you add 1 plus 1 plus 8 plus 2, you get 12. 12 is divisible by 3, and therefore 1,182 is also divisible by 3.
Shut the front door. How is that even possible?
Oh, it's magical. And because
it is magical.
And because it's a sum, you can actually rearrange any of the numbers and still get a number that's divisible by 3. So 8211, 8112, et cetera, et cetera. Because they all add up to 12. Yeah.
I'm going to have to test that out now. Dozens of different numbers.
Right. Test it on every number up to and including infinity minus 1. Get back to me.
The only problem is, of course, I'm not very mathematical, so I'm probably going to have to stop at 9. 9. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Try Excel. You know, then you can go up to 65535, unless you've got a newer version of Excel that lets you put in more rows. You'll be right.
Yeah. Mm. That 65535, whatever it is, has caused me lots of problems when I tried to catalog my video collection.
Oh, dear.
It's quite harsh.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'm totally stunned by your mathematical geekery. And all I can say is, what a geek.
And all I can do again is say, thank you. I'm sorry.
Take his hat off.
Take the hat off. Put your finger in the little whirly-whirly to stop it spinning. Otherwise, it's just going to keep going.
Perpetual motion.
Not a dream. Mm-mm. So guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Second guess what in a row?
Billy are texting me and I didn't mention I was ill.
Yeah. And I've only just shared the show notes with you, so you don't even know what the guess what is. But
okay. The
beta key we gave away last week didn't get claimed. So
what?
we went to the judges, we went to our lawyers. The lawyer said, not claimed, suggest you do a redraw. Went to the judges said, yep, Looks like it's time for a redraw. So that's what we've done. There was some more submissions we got after we recorded last week, so we added those in as well and did the old trusty slash roll on a Sheo. And the new winner for this week, and I will tweet this week that you do need to listen to the show to find out if you have one. I just assume that people would actually
down low a little bit. Didn't
yeah,
we?
Just assume that people would actually listen to find out, you know, who won. Yeah. But clearly not. Never mind. Sucks to be them. The new winner is Unified 44. Grats to that person. And they said, "I'm a WoW geek because I unsubbed in June and still listen weekly to WoW podcasts." Smiley face.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lots of those.
We'll give them that.
We mentioned this last week, didn't we? Lots of those. I've unsubbed from WoW, but I listen to your show. To get the key.
I can only assume that they've got long not telecommutes, because that would be very short. They've got long commutes, and then they need to listen to lots of audios.
Yeah. I mean, I can listen to certain WoW podcasts because a lot of them don't talk about WoW.
Mm. Like this one?
Like this one is going to be this week for me.
So when I say, "What have you done in WoW this week?" on your shiny new computer that's going to be, like, awesome in ultra mode, you must have done lots. What are you going to say?
Spoilers.
Whoops. Sorry.
Half my content gone.
Didn't you say that last week that you got a new
yeah,
computer?
Yeah, but I cut it out. It was just an aside. I did a bit of editing.
Oh, okay. Oh, jeez.
Yes, well, you are quite correct, though. During the recording last week, a large box showed up. And inside was the newest computer I've had since, I want to say 2007, 2008, maybe. Ooh. Well, the newest desktop. I've got a much newer laptop, which my son purloined.
Okay. Yeah.
He gets to play all the new games on that because it's supposedly a gaming laptop. Nice. And so, of course, all my plans to experience WoW and get a team of warlocks albatross-wise onto the plateau, out the window. Out the window. Because all of a sudden...
Oh, dear.
I know. I'm terrible. All of a sudden, I've got a machine that can now play all the games that, for some unknown reason, I've managed to buy on the various different Steam sales, having absolutely no machinery to play it on. But still thinking to myself, ooh, 50%.
The devilry of the Steam sales.
Yeah, they really do grab you. Especially when they think, it's 75% off. You think, this is a bargain. The fact that...
That's a super bargain.
The fact that you've got no machine that can play it, and it may not even be the sort of genre game that you want to play, or you had no intention of buying it at any price until you saw it at 75% off. Yeah, they just certainly do get you by the elbow.
Grand sale, grand sale, grand sale.
They certainly do get you by the short and curlies. So for the past, well, since the recording, I did spend a couple of days in edit hell as I tried to tidy up the mess that I'd made of last week's podcast. I've been going to, and here comes another wham dinghy. I've got 3 different Steam accounts, and I don't know why.
What?
I don't know why. I don't know why.
You've got 3 different Steam accounts.
I think at some stage I was trying to hide stuff from my son. I think the GTAs may have gone on there.
Sneaky.
Right. But also, because Steam's a bit of a bugger, because if you try and play one game on one, if you try and play one game on your one computer and somebody else is playing another game, even though on the same Steam account, it does start to get a little bit hissy-fitty. It's a bit annoying, really. Because, you know, you did pay legitimately for each individual game. It's not like you're trying to hack anything.
Yeah.
And there are ways around.
I wonder if that's changed now that they've got the Steam family stuff.
I think it's going to have to, isn't it? I know it's just a kind of beta at the moment, but yeah. Hopefully that will change. So I've got these 3 accounts, and it was just a matter of going through them individually and trying to find all the different games that I kind of vaguely remember buying. And then finding a couple of times that I'd bought it twice, thinking, what the hell was I on? What was I thinking?
It's such a great game. I bought it twice.
Yeah, and I've got, my memory is fading about why I would do that. For some unknown reason, I have 3 copies of The Sims 3.
Well, it's probably because you've got three different accounts and you forgot that you actually had it. And so you bought it on another account.
One of them is an actual box. One of them actually came through the post. One of them is on the EA Origin, most ridiculously stupid Origin downloader in the world. And the other one is on the Steam. So I don't know. I imagine at some stage I got really pissed off having to put the disc in. Or I got really annoyed with Origin.
You just have a download. Yeah, that seems pretty likely
Steam
as well.
Be...
I think I'm much more likely to get annoyed with Origin than sticking a disc in.
Actually,
God, they've got a crappy system.
Actually, saying all that, I did have quite a good experience with Origin, which surprised me, because I have got what, about 7 or 8 games on Origin, including Star Wars, the Old Republic, and some of the Battlefield games. And it wasn't totally hideous. It did all seem to work relatively smoothly, but I think that's because it's a completely clean install. There's no, you know, there's no hurdles for it to jump. Just install it and get ready to play. So, what have I been playing? Like I just mentioned, I'm a big fan of the Battlefield games, and I couldn't play anything beyond about Battlefield 2. So, so I've been, I've got those, got the Battlefield games, and I had a good old play on Battlefield 3. How to say 3 now? Battlefield the 3rd. Very good, very good. I love that game. Trying to get used to, still got a WoW mouse, unfortunately. So I had to think to myself, well, going to have to work out exactly what's going on. Because the WoW mouse, although it's an incredibly good mouse for WoW, needs a little bit of tinkering when it's playing another game.
Oh, why is that?
Well, it has a...
What's special about it?
When you go into the setup for it, instead of saying, bind this key to this button, it will say bind, walk forward to this button, or open bags to this button. So it's using the WoW, code, you know, like the word, whatever letter it's for, inventory, rather than you being able to set it up standard. Now, again, there's ways what you end up doing is having to macro individual letters and stuff. So it's a bit of a pain, but it all worked out. And I recently played Battlefield 3 on the Xbox. And I have to say, I do still prefer a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, I'm much prefer. I mean, I think it's just because I've played on them so much more, but I much prefer using games with a keyboard and mouse than the Xbox or PS3 controllers.
Yeah.
I think it's also that I've got such big hands.
Yeah.
Trying to push all those buttons and get my fingers around everything is a wee bit difficult.
That's why I love the WoW mouse, because it's about 8 foot square. You have to use both hands to move it around.
You can just reach the left and right buttons with your pinky and your thumb.
Yes. Nice mouse there. And what else did I play? I played a bit of Portal 2. I was able to play Portal 1 on this machine, but Portal 2 seemed to have a bit of a problem. Bit of Arkham Asylum, Girl Batman. Love that. It's good.
Yep.
Call of Duty games. Quite a few Call of Duty games I've got to play around. And I also tried, although I promised myself I never would, Skyrim.
Oh, why would you promise yourself that?
Well,
Skyrim's awesome.
Yes, I understand that it's an awesome, awesome game. But one of the problems that I have is that you can spend literally weeks running around Skyrim, getting your character geared up, getting him to be just the you know, dog's bollocks, the mutt's nuts. No bugger knows. No bugger knows. There's no one. There's no town.
Yeah.
You can't walk around. You can't call people noobs. You know, you can't stand on mounts near mailboxes and upset people with your fantastic new Uber mount. I mean, it's just, it doesn't have that. It doesn't have that douche factor, which I think MMOs need. But it feels like an MMO. I mean,
so you want to play something that's because you're pretty much a solo player in an MMO. So you want like a game in between Skyrim that's aimed towards solo play. But you want the MMO aspect so that you can show off your stuff and you can call people douches and call them out, but they don't get in your face.
Yeah, so they don't get in my way. I don't want people getting in my way, but I also want them to see my openness.
For somebody to make a game?
Well, what I'm looking for is something along the lines of Azeroth's next top model. So you go out and you do your stuff, and then at the end of, the end of the play day, there's some sort of catwalk.
Right.
Where you can just march up and down it, showing off all the gear you've got and the levels you've achieved and everything else that's uber about your character. and then yelling to the crowd, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. So, yeah.
If you could probably automate that. Just take screenshots and send it out to Twitter and get copious amounts of feedback and send it out to Google Plus and watch the tumbleweeds roll past. And
Feedback. Yeah. Probably not the sort of feedback you want, really. People are funny on the internet. I also cheated a little bit because there's some MMOs which I couldn't really play either because of their necessity for graphics.
Rift?
Rift I was able to play okay and decided not to anymore. But Final Fantasy 14 just got reborn. And I remember being one of the mugs, one of the guinea pigs that tested its an original version, 1. Crap. which was the most gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous game I've ever seen. It really is absolutely stunning. The world itself is somewhere you'd quite happily live if it weren't for all the monsters and killing and stuff. But, you know, you see wind whistling through the trees and leaves falling down and, you know, you can almost smell the place. It's so realistically done. Yeah. But unfortunately, in the 1.0 version, you couldn't do anything else. You know, the crafting was balked, movement was balked, the questing was balked, basically it was all balked. I don't know what the hell it was.
Looked great, just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Sounds ideal. Not.
Sounds like most of the America's Top Models. But they decided themselves, well, rather than just try and push ahead with this complete and utter turkey, they would just scrap the whole lot, which they did do relatively quickly in its original lifespan, and start again, which is what they've done. And they still are not learning some important lessons about how an MMO should work. And I'm not sure if it's just a Japanese thing or a level of ignorance, because they're very much a solo play company and a console company at that. But
there's so many MMOs out there now that have led the way and have shown what works and doesn't work. It's surely a game title that big would avoid the most obvious pitfalls of screwing up an MMO.
Well, the first thing that gets you is that instead of just, say, for instance, when you want to do something with a Blizzard game, you go onto the one Blizzard site, you enter in your details, you give them your credit card or your PayPal or whatever, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, within about 5-10 minutes, you're playing. You know, it's very simple. There's a download page. You want to download the stuff. It's a very intuitive, simple system, as are most games. Now, for some unknown reason, Square Enix has 4 individual websites, none of which seem to allow you to download the game, and none of them which seem to allow you to pay for it.
Did they commission Origin to help them with it?
Origin is a shining example of intuitive design compared to this, I swear to goodness. I have never been so annoyed and yet so determined to give them money, which you would think that after the first 2 or 3 hours...
Take my money, damn you!
After the first 2 or 3 hours, I would have gone, sod this. You know, this is how the payment system is, Lord knows what the game's like.
I thought they'd actually disabled downloading because they couldn't cope with anymore.
Well, what they've done, a bit sneakily, actually, I think that you're right. I think they did disable for a while. They've turned that back on, but instead of just disabling the downloading, they disabled the ability to actually go onto a different realm, or any realm, for that matter, which is the second hurdle you have to jump.
Thanks for downloading and buying the game. Yeah. We'll let you know when you can play.
And sadly, that is not a million miles away from the truth. There's actually a list. Cowboy actually linked to it in the Twitter recently. There's a list of servers which are available to play on and those that are not, that are currently closed to new characters. And there's like two servers that are open and the rest are closed.
But, so too bad if you want to play with your friends.
Well, exactly. And also they make it virtually impossible for you to transfer. They also, that list, you'd think, well, okay, so there's 2 servers. Let's have everybody go and meet on that server. That list changes seemingly by the hour.
Oh, God.
So, for instance, I get on. the AIE Guild and Cowboy and a few other people who are over on a server called Gilgamesh. So I think, okay, now I can get onto Gilgamesh, quickly create a character. Fantastic. Gilgamesh is open. Boom, boom, boom. There's a character on Gilgamesh. Okay, now I want to create another character. I just created that so that I could get a character on that server and have a little run around and get used to the controls. But I have a character on there. Now, I don't know about you, but once I've got a character on there, they should let me create another character on there.
That's
because I can't play them both at the same time.
No.
So it's
you don't want your characters spread all over different realms. What the hell?
So I just don't understand how, as you say, a huge company, Square Enix is a huge, huge company, backed by huge companies. You know, basically it's Japan. I just don't understand what they're thinking. You know, it's like almost like they're saying, well, maybe we'll get another chance. Maybe we'll do a Final Fantasy 14 3.0. You know, or maybe this company is just there to lose money. I don't know. I did finally get in after much faffing about. And it is still a gorgeous game. And they certainly have done vast improvements to the basic UI and also the way that certain things work, like the crafting and so on. And also I'm sure nobody needs to hear me talk about how awful the first version was, but there was a point where you just couldn't, the way you bought gear was just ridiculous. You had to go from character to character to character to sell their own gear and stuff. And there was no central place to find out who had what.
Oh, God.
So, say, for instance, you wanted a particular shield or helmet or piece of armor. You'd have to go and click on it. And there could be 30 people stood around in this huge room. And you'd click on them and say, you know, you'd interrogate that particular individual. Have you got shield? No, I've got it. Okay. Well, and you just move on. By the time you found the person that had it, you know, It was probably 2 or 3 weeks later, and you'd already picked up something better in your travels.
So oh,
it was horrible, and hopefully
sounds like a job for Wowhead.
Sounds like I don't know. They did try all sorts of external systems and so on and so forth, but it really was an absolute turkey from day one. And I'm hoping that these server issues and their ridiculous hoops that you have to jump through to even get onto the game don't. You know,
yeah, I'm hearing good things about the game, and I would like to download it and give it a try, but I'm happy to wait until these teething issues are all sorted out.
Yeah, yeah. And I should have probably done that as well, but I was so keen to see what it looked like on the new machine.
You're so keen to avoid doing a dungeon with your warlock with me this week. That's really what it came down to, wasn't it?
I'm scared. I don't want to do a dungeon. I don't want to. Yeah, that was kind of it. But yeah. I haven't had a lot of fun. And I'm even trying weird things like Mass Effect 3.
Cool.
The only annoying thing, of course, is that this machine...
You have a lot of games are sitting around that you haven't played, don't you?
Tons of them. Just absolute tons of them. I wish I could Fallout I've got here as well, which I need to play. Borderlands, Left 4 Dead, Metro.
Wow.
The Old Republic, obviously. Yeah, loads of them. All the Age of Empires, Sid Meier's Civilization 5, Company of Heroes. He's all on the
list. So you've had all these games and you couldn't play any of them because your PC wouldn't play them.
No. Dragon Age 1 and 2, say.
Yeah, hundreds of dollars worth of games there have just been sitting there.
I know. Okay. Not only that, you're a nutter. Of course, I also spent ridiculous amounts of money becoming a lifetime member for Champions Online and Star Trek Online.
Oh, well, that's sure to make them shut down, go free to play.
Well, that's exactly what they did. Buggers. So, of course, I installed both of those again. I log in and I hadn't played for 1,300 plus days. So that was money well spent. And then because you're kind of a gold VIP legacy member, whatever, doody, you get just absolutely bombarded with gifts. All the stuff you earned while you weren't even playing.
All sitting in your mailbox.
Well, I don't know where it was. Yeah, I guess it is still in the mailbox because after about 20 minutes of just seeing flashing up on the screen, you have achieved, you have achieved, you have achieved, you have received, you have... I said, I've sod this and logged off. Just too much. So I don't know what I'm going to do with all that. But anyway, actually, I was saying the most annoying thing with this machine, and I guess most new machines now, is it comes with Windows 8.
Oh, God.
Who at Microsoft decided that Windows 7 was so bad that they needed an 8?
They needed to make something that looked like a tablet because tablets are all the rage.
Mm. Is that what it was?
And they did a terrible, terrible job at it.
I can't turn this machine off.
Where's shutdown? I can't find shutdown.
What is going on? I swear, I have to Alt F4 to, to get to the shutdown menu. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You
want to grab one of those programs that adds your start menu back so you can actually find things.
Yeah, I've been looking at those. I'm going to have to do that.
And they sit there and they wonder why corporations don't roll it out. Because retraining everybody is going to cost a bloody fortune.
Yeah. What was broken that needed fixing so badly? I don't understand. Everybody laughed when the first Windows machine came out.
You just got to do stuff to make it feel like you're getting your money's worth to cough out all that ridiculous amount of money for a new operating system.
Yeah. But were you one of the ones that went, start menu, and it's where you go to shut down? But now,
I didn't mind it.
It's become so intuitive to go to the start menu to shut down. And then when they take the bugger away.
Well, in Windows 7, it doesn't actually say start menu anymore. It's just a button that's got the Windows logo on it. So, you know, I just consider it, well, that's the button that I use to get the stuff. Yeah. And there's sensible menus, including a shutdown option.
It's very annoying. And what else I was wondering was that it comes pre-installed with Internet Explorer as your default web browser. And I was wondering how many people, their first search on Internet Explorer is Chrome.
Yeah, download Chrome.
Because mine was. I was like, what? Yep. Bing? What? No, thank you. No, thank you. At least exactly. You can get rid of it now. Instead of in the old days, basically the entire thing was IE7, wasn't it? Whatever it was, IE6.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you can thank the EU for that.
Yeah, that's right.
They took it to court and said, no, we need to be able to remove this Internet Explorer rubbish. Mm-hmm. Need some competition there, sunshine.
Yeah, so I was very happy to go back to Chrome. But, yeah, good week. Good week playing everything but WoW. Literally everything but WoW. Yeah. Guild Wars 2.
Oh, I'm not... you're just rubbing it in now. That's...
I'm going to stop now.
You're going to come and play some Warlock with me this week.
I am. I'm certainly going to do some Warlock.
I'm going to pack my bags and go and find another Warlock to do a dungeon with.
What?
Yeah.
Not that rogue from Realm... Oh, my God, it's ridiculous to say this. Not that rogue from Realm Maintenance.
That must be one of the hardest sentences for you to say.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I did actually raid with Ro this week. And, oh, my God, I was humming and haring about which spec that I should make you play. Because there isn't... force you.
Okay.
Entice you. Twist your arm. Encourage you.
Okay.
I couldn't find a lot of information around about which spec is actually the best spec. Or, you know, considered the better spec, maybe not best, as a 5.4. Well, after running a flex raid with Ro this week, where his Destruction Warlock was doing 200,000 DPS.
That's ridiculous.
Pretty much gone, yep, Destruction it is.
How is that even possible?
Well, he does have the legendary cloak, which is helping him a wee little bit.
It's gear then.
Yeah, that's it. It's all gear. Nothing to do with skill. Yeah, right. I'll keep telling myself that.
I didn't even know that. Went up to 200,000.
Yeah, well, it's like there's a big numbers screaming up on the screen.
Was he top DPS then?
Overflow. Yes, he was top DPS.
Okay.
Yep. Definitely.
It's not like he's hitting 200,000 and then people are like, hey,
pathetic little warlock. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, well.
So,
much credit to young Ro then.
Definitely. So some destruction instructions coming your way. And I'm thinking we're going to have to get Ro on to explain his shot rotation and stuff like that. I can give you the basics, but I feel like such a noob.
I think compared first words compared out of his mouth are going to be bot.
Bot.
Yeah. It's playing itself. Or maybe
I'll say spell flash.
I'm shocked that he has the time to do any freaking playing of the game, because he's recording pretty much every podcast out.
He's recording. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, but standing toe to toe in the Sheep Moon, whatever they're doing, popularity contest, where he got soundly smashed by Mr. Scott Johnson. Well, I say soundly. It was about 70% him and 30% Tebow.
That's pretty decent, given Mr. Johnson's following.
Given the huge following that Mr. Johnson has. So the sad thing is, I don't know if you've been watching this Sheep Moon bracket thing, but they've got down to the top four now, and three of them are Scott Johnson, Terps, and Dills. And the fourth one is Coltrane.
I think Terps is out, actually.
Is he? No. You lie. You lie. How could he possibly be out? He was the only Brit left.
Coltrane will take it out. He deserves it.
Yeah, he has the voice for it. He has the best voice for the acceptance speech.
Yeah, there's that, isn't there? Yeah. So what about my week? What have I been doing this week?
What? You mean you've been playing well this week?
I have been playing well. I've felt like I had to play double time to make up for your lack of interest.
That's fair enough. The good thing about us partnering up is that you'll always bring the meat, and I don't need to worry too much.
Well, I wouldn't say always, but a week and a half after a major patch, yep. I'm in there and thoroughly diving into as much exciting content as I can. But doing other things as well. For example, I don't know if you remember, I did a pet leveling guide on Tumblr.
Do you remember, like six battles to 25?
Yeah, level a pet 1 to 25 in six fights. Yeah. So I thought to myself, I wonder if that still works, because I knew that there were some changes to some of the trainers. So I went back and updated that. Did have to change up a couple of the fights. The Nubisith Idol, even though he did get nerfed a little bit, he's still an awesome pet. So,
what were the changes then? What affected them?
The sandstorm that he does has a reduced number of rounds that it comes out for, and an increased cooldown.
Because that was part of the sort of tactics, wasn't it, that you could get him out, start that thing going, and
once that thing's going, there's so many pets that basically don't do any damage to you while the sandstorm's out. It's pretty OP. It's very nice. So I've got a link to that in the show notes if anybody wants to go back and have a look at that. All it basically requires is that you've opened up the Pandaren Tamers, because it's basically using the Pandaren Tamers to level a pet from 1 to 25. And you'll do, I think I worked out 6 fights if you do have the Safari Hat, 7 to 8 fights if you don't have the Safari Hat. So not a big difference.
What does the Safari Hat give you? Oh, 10%.
10%. Right. An extra 10%, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a crack at the Celestial Tournament, the solo scenario for pet battles, and found that I'm severely lacking in several pet families in order to do that.
Jeez,
so I made myself
They lied.
Yeah. They lied with their 30 or whatever they reckon that you need. I think they forgot the zero. I think they needed like 300. So I've made myself a new list of pets that I'm going to level up before I go back in there and start bashing my head against it again.
Is it quite extensive?
Yeah, it's about 8 or 9.
Oh.
So not massive.
Especially if you can do it in 6 fights.
Yeah, but I can only do one a day because it's using the daily quest from the trainers. So
still.
So one a day, it's going to take me a few days, but doing some other leveling as well. So that's going all right. And in researching that, one of the pets that I saw a recommendation on leveling was the Gilnian Raven, and I didn't have one and had no idea where it came from, and went and looked it up. And it's actually a pet that you can just buy off an NPC in Stormwind, but only if you're a Worgen.
Mm. The clue was in the name, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, rather. So I didn't know that. So I logged into my Druid Worgen and headed on out to this NPC and got myself a Gildian Raven the first time round. And the good thing about them is that they're cageable, because yes, I bought it on the wrong account, so I could actually cage it and send it across to my right account. So then, of course, I'm thinking, oh, there's probably a market for this on the Horde auction house. Am I giving away your secrets?
No.
Was that what that sigh was?
No.
So, yes, I have bought a couple more and sent them across to sell on the Horde auction house.
You bought them with the same druid?
No, I bought... That was going to be my question, because I've been back to it several times and there's been no other pets that she had for sale, and I didn't know whether I got lucky the first time or whether she only sells one and that's the only thing that she sells. And she sells different ones for different races.
No, she only sells the Gilnane Raven, and you can only buy it once as a Worgen.
Per druid.
Per
Worgen. Right. Yeah. Okay. I was starting to suspect that was the case.
Mm.
But
otherwise, it would be a great money maker.
Yeah, what threw me a little bit, that's why I love druids. Yeah, I should have even more druids. What threw me a little bit is that there was a rogue. I think it was a human, was sitting there beside her. And, you know, a few times when I logged in, he was sitting there as well. So I kind of assumed that she stole other stuff on some sort of timer, but then kind of started to suspect that she didn't. So
no, she's a one hit wonder.
And is the Horde one that's in the Goblin area in Orgrimmar the similar deal?
Yeah.
So is that just goblins can buy something off
just the goblins
off him?
Yeah.
Right.
They got parents. Well, obviously, they came out at the same time. So.
I did not know about them, so I learned about a couple of new pets this week.
And you're saying that it's a bit uber as an actual fighting pet, as well as being quite hard to get?
Yeah, the Gilnian Raven was on the list of the pets that people had said was good in the Celestial Tournament for one of the fights. Yeah. So I'm going to level that up. And also... Oh, that was actually that was what I was sending across to send sell in the auction house. Was I saw somebody tweet that they got the Azure Crane chick this week. I went, oh, that looks cute. Where does that come from? And it's in the crane eggs that's out on the Timeless Isle.
Yeah.
So I went out. I was out there on my warlock and clicked on the eggs, and as you've said, the cranes went, oi, cut that out, and started attacking me. I went, ah, oh, geez, now I'm going to kill them before I go and do another egg.
Not surprising. You're killing our kids.
Well, I wasn't killing them. I was just picking up the eggs and having a look.
Yeah. Cracking them open and seeing if I can see one of your chicks.
So, of course, I've taken my hunter out there, and he clicks on the egg and gets some coins and then pretends to die, and they went, oh, all right, he's dead. And then I can run off to the next egg.
The egg killed him.
So the egg killed him, that's right. So I've got two or three of the crane chicks this week, and they're cageable as well. So, but clearly a lot of people have got the idea on that, because there's quite a few of those in the auction house.
I got one, I think, the first or second night, and I thought, oh, well, you know, hot-footed to the auction house, stick this baby on there. And there was already like 12.
Like, oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. It seems to be the silkworm of this particular patch.
No, all right.
I don't know, though. It's harder to get them.
Nah, so, it's harder to get than the silkworms. I mean, I've got dozens of silkworms that, I should just vendor and get rid of.
Yeah.
And especially if you level them up. Like, I've leveled up a couple of the Gaz rookies. If you level those up, they sell quite nicely as a level 25 blue.
Yeah, I bet.
And my last yay for this week, pet-wise, was I got myself a little bling off the Blingtron.
What?
Yeah.
Now that, all this other stuff you said, easily done, but that is an achievement.
That's pretty low percentage rate on that one.
Very low.
So I love my little bling. And that was even on the right account. So another thing I've done this week was I gave up and I looked up something out in the Timeless Isle because I kept hearing about the Zahim Altogether achievement.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Zahim being the community manager that's managed to get himself a named NPC, I guess, quest giver, for want of a better term, in the game.
And deservedly so.
Yeah, definitely. So I did look that up and figured out where to pick it up and read up on it, and it kind of sounded difficult because what you've got to do is wait for the skull to spawn, and he sends you into a ghost world, and you need to dodge all these ghosts that have pretty darn big hitbox-type circles on the ground. You need to stay out of them. Otherwise, you get knocked back into the real world and lose your chance for the day. So I thought, well, this is going to be rather difficult. And you've only got a few minutes before the buff times out. But I actually managed to get it first time.
Oh, great.
Yeah. You know, I staked out the cave beforehand, so I knew the actual path that I had to take to get up there. And the longest wait was like the last 20 yards, there was a ghost there that just wouldn't move. And I'm sitting there waiting and go, well, it's got to move because I can't get around it. And I just sat there and patiently waited, and eventually it moved off to the side and let me run around past it and got my Zahim Altogether achievement.
So you don't kill them, you just avoid them.
No, you've just got to avoid them, yeah. So there were some suggestions that, like warlocks can use the blazing, I don't even can't remember what the achievement, the talent is, because I don't use it. It's the one where you get to run really fast, but you lose health as you're running.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you use that, you can just tear through them and get to the end.
Hopefully.
And
not
I
dead.
Thought, oh, I wonder if I can use the, because I was doing this on my mage. I thought, I wonder if I can use the mage invisibility. So after I actually got the achievement, and because there's chests in the ghost world as well that you can loot and get stuff out of. So after I actually got the achievement and I was running around getting some more chests, I thought, I wonder if I can dash through these ghosts in mage invisibility mode. And nope. He took a swipe at me and knocked me out of the ghost world. And yeah, well, them's the breaks.
They can see you. So you can do this on every character, can you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though you get one achievement.
Not that there's... Yeah, you get one achievement, so there's not really much point.
But what's in the chest?
Coins, mainly. Right. I only got coins out of it. I'm not sure if anything else... You've got the chance for anything else to drop. If it had a chance of a burden dropping, then for sure I'd be doing it on every turn.
It's funny how my interest perks when you say the word chest.
Chest, yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, okay, get the skull and put him together with his body, yeah, yada, yada. Oh, chests!
Chest, you say? What? and what's in them?
And what's in them?
Exactly. Yeah. So speaking of which, listening to what you did last week and the kind of drop rates that you were getting and doing it on all your turns, I went, okay, I'm going to have to go out and do this on some more turns.
Yeah, bite that bullet.
So bite that bullet. And I did it on a couple of turns and actually kept track of what I got. And I haven't done all of the chests on those turns. I haven't done the ones where you've got to either fly up there or get dropped by the albatross onto those kind of the beachside ones. So 32. Yeah, you know, there's probably three chests that I didn't do. Mm. These are just the mossy chests I'm counting here. Yeah. So 32 mossy chests that I did on these turns, and on average, I was getting 151 coins per chest.
Yeah.
The ones I reckon the ones along the shoreline drop a lot less. Mm. The smallest one was probably like 20. Yeah. They do get pretty small along the waterline, but in the middle of the island, you get ones that drop over 300.
Yeah, I think
so. It all averages out.
Weighted. It's not RNG that's deciding.
No, it's not RNG. Option. Yeah, definitely weighted for different chests. Yeah. Could definitely see a pattern there.
Yeah,
and so I got and I kept track of which ones had loot, and on both of them, about 30% had loot in them.
Mm. So it's about 10
and in terms
pieces.
Of yeah. I got nine or ten pieces out of each run. And in terms of what percentage of that loot was for that class, on my druid, I got 67% of the drops were leather, and so were for that class, which wasn't too bad. But on my death knight, and it was kind of weighted because I didn't count cloaks, yeah. he only got 30% of that was plate.
Oh.
But he got like four cloaks.
Oh.
So that didn't work out for him too well.
No. So it's kind of for his spec, but not the stuff you really want because it's a cloak.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and I got so many cloaks. And since, of course, every single one of my toons is going to have the legendary cloak, what do I need a cloak for? Clearly. Why do they put cloaks out there at all? I don't know.
You know, there are some people that are never going to see the legendary cloak except on the back of you. So that's probably why.
I'm still just hoping I can get it on one character.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. But I did, and I did do the blazing chest on both of those toons and got a Burden of Eternity on both of those.
Okay.
Got two leather pieces on my druid. And sadly, I also got two leather pieces on my Death Knight.
Maybe we're trying to tell you something.
Roll more druids.
Yeah, sounds like
exactly. Yeah.
And you also discovered this week what I had kind of surmised but didn't quite get correct, that you do have to do those special chests in a particular order.
You do. So I was up there doing something else and I decided I'm going to do the rope one, and I walked the rope and there was no chest.
Oh, so the ropes are still there.
So the ropes are there. It's just no chest.
That's a bugger.
Bastards. So they ran back up and the crane statue wasn't active. Mm. So I ran down and did the pillar jumping and then ran the ropes again, and sure enough the chest was there, and then the statue was active as well. So you have to do those in order.
Okay.
But what I haven't worked out yet is whether you have to do that in order every week or whether it's just the first week.
Yeah. Because you get an achievement at the end, don't you? First time you do it.
Yeah, you do. Yep.
So maybe once you've got that achievement, you've got
Treasure Hunter, something like that. Yeah, so I got that achievement. And I got I eventually managed to get one of the underwater pirate monkey dudes to drop a key.
What was it that drops the key?
It's just the elites that were around that sunken ship. They actually drop a key, but it must be a pretty low drop rate. So I got one eventually. So I did that and did the other ship. We have to walk out on the sail.
Yeah.
And got the one from there. There's another achievement that you get for doing that. Something about pirate booty.
Is that quite easy to do? Now.
It's a little bit tricky because you have to jump from one part of the ship out onto the railing. But if you mount it up, and what makes it more complicated is the sails are in the way. So you have to like zoom right in so that you can, see where you're going and do that leap. And, it's not too difficult. Okay. But if you're not great at jumping, then it might be a little tough.
Yeah. Great jumping.
And you know what's on this week?
No.
Brewfest.
Yeah.
Meh. Yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? It's a big meh.
Yes, I don't know. They need to have some focus on these holidays.
Very disappointing that they didn't update it at all.
Mm.
I mean, really, how hard is it to up the item level on the trinkets from, 470 to 496 or 502 or something?
Yeah.
I mean, just doing that one tiny thing would have been enough to encourage people to run it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, why go through the rigmarole of doing the Brewfest stuff 4-4-70 when you can walk out and chip over one on the aisle?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And the answer is there is no point. Yeah. You know, I queued up a few days as a healer, and I hate to think what the queue time is as a DPS, because the queue time as a healer was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And all for a trinket that's not an upgrade.
Yeah, they really do need to, because these little things such as Brewfest and the other holidays that they do can inspire even people to come back to the game. You know, they can really get people into the mood to play more.
And they don't have to revamp the whole thing.
No.
They don't have to revamp the whole thing every year. They just need to make, you know, one or two small changes and upgrade some gear, and that's going to encourage people to want to do it.
Mm. Or make something special. I know that they, in the past, when they gave different steins out, different, what you call them, mugs, out,
yep,
with different colors,
steins.
Just stick another color in there, because people love to collect crap. You know, they
that's
love
right.
That, you know,
people love clogging up their banks with different colored steins.
They do. So it sounds, and as you just said, it sounds like an incredibly simple thing to do. Oh, we'll recolor this one purple. Change its flavor text. Boom.
Change its name. Where you go.
I don't know why they don't, and I guess they're focused very much on the next expansion and trying to clean this one up and finish it off in some sort of style, and maybe they don't have the resources to do that, but the simplicity of the changes they could make, as we just talked about, seems silly not to, because it just gets people's backs up.
That's right. I mean, it was all massive. If we were going to do a forum dive this week, I think it would be about the massive QQ around why Brewfest hasn't been updated.
Mm.
So, yeah, a bit of a downer so close to release of a shiny new patch.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that when they start talking about 6, the expansion, that they do have a revamp, because not only will the cap, the level cap, be that much higher. I think there's some speculation it's going to be 100.
Mm.
They really are going to have to tidy up some of these holidays. Or getting new holidays, I don't know. I mean, how long is Brewfest? What is it, 8-9 years? It's been going since almost the beginning?
Yeah, most of these holiday events have been around for a long time now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they could add some more, but, I mean, that requires
not more
a ton of resources,
but maybe
a lot more
holidays.
Resources. Yeah, a lot more. Yeah. Let's invent some more real-world holidays so that they can replicate them in the game. That'll be good.
I have to tell you,
some more public holidays.
Oktoberfest is not a holiday in most places in the world, just in Germany.
No.
So I have no idea where that came from. But what they probably need to do, if they're not going to do it at the high end, try and get the people who have their level capped already to get trinkets that are off a nice level worth going in for. They need to then start appealing to the lower end people. You know, doing something that is good for an alt, or good for, you know, somebody who's just starting out, or, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That would encourage people to run it on their alts. You know, I do.
That's right.
I get a bit miffed when it is just pure level 90s that can do the whole thing. I know there's always a few things for each.
Especially at this point in the expansion, doing something that would help people get some more of their alts from 85 to 90 would attract them, even if they change nothing else.
I mean, that's why I don't mind the Midsummer thing, because it isn't about my 90s. It's about all those that language.
It's all about the XP.
85s. And there's a chunk of gold to be earned as well. So
if
they do that, people will always do it, because, you know, well, at least the kind of people we know
will always do it. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that will do all the Brewfest every year because they're completionists and they love it and they want to do it. You know, to be honest, I did seriously think about doing it on my Alliance turn, because I haven't done a Brewfest on the Alliance side at all. But, I knew it was going to be pretty much the same, just in a different location.
Well, with the shared mounts as well, the benefits of doing a long, strange trip with anybody but one character doesn't appeal anymore. That was a big appeal for people to do it more than once, to go through all the different holidays more than once.
Yep.
No need. They shot themselves in the foot.
Well, dropped a big stein on their foot.
Yeah.
Bruised their toes.
Sort it out.
Bruce. Okay, and here comes our homegrown bumper, because we're still missing some bumpers. Hint, hint. Although Lita has sent us in some bumpers. Thank you, Lita.
Lovely,
Lita. And here we go with Noob to Lead. She should do that one, shouldn't she? Because then she could go Noob to Lead.
Ah. Yes, she should. Because you made it sound like some sort of Halloween thing. I don't know where that came from. No. It sounds like Marley visiting Scrooge on Christmas night.
Crazy. I'm the ghost of Warlock's past. So we didn't run a dungeon this week, because you're a scaredy cat. But I've got some information here.
That was it. My warlock had the green fever.
Poor little warlock.
Mm. He's only tiny.
So I did go through and take a look at what the general consensus is on recommendations for talents and glyphs and things after I decided that destruction is the way to go.
Okay.
So we'll quickly go through these. I'm sure you'll know precisely what they all are, given that you're all au fait with your warlock.
Dude, I'm Googling the word talents.
How do you actually choose what talents you put on your characters? Can I ask that?
I hover over each of the talents and I look for the ones
that
got big numbers.
Right, yeah. So far, so good.
Anything over 30%. And I'm on it. But what I have, I have to be honest. I mean, I have in the past gone to your icy veins and your elitist jerks and
well populars.
Yes. Although I find that a little bit odd because everybody could be doing it wrong. But anyway, yes, I have looked at the talents, not on a warlock, but certainly on my hunter. I've gone down the path of most efficient. And a little bit on the mage. A warlock, relatively new to me as a character, I need to actually get DPS out of, as opposed to farm. Right. Because that plow doesn't take much talent to use. So, and my warlock's pretty much have done nothing but farming since they hit 90.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so I do try. I do try a little.
Alrighty. So your first level talents. My preference here is picking a passive one, because then you don't have to think about it. I love passive talents.
I love passive talents, me too.
Passive talents are awesome. And happily enough, in this case, most people seem to agree that Soul Leech is an excellent choice.
Mm.
Okay, so Soul Leech is where, for destruction, things like your Incinerate and your Chaos Bolt grant you and your pet a shield that absorbs 10% damage for 15 seconds.
Okay, that's good. So, like a shield.
Yeah, absorbing damage, always good.
Yeah.
The next layer along, there's some debate about what the best one here is, but I particularly like Shadow Fury. Because it's a stun, and I like having some sort of stun on most of my characters.
Oh, yeah, 3 seconds. That'll be quite good out on the aisle.
Yeah. Now, you could get the other one that people tend to get is Mortal Coil, which causes your enemies to run away. But what happens when enemies run away?
They pull other enemies.
They pull other enemies.
Go get their mates.
Yeah. Oi! Check out this warlock over here. So what you can do to counter that is get the Glyph of Fear, which causes them to stand there and tremble and wee their pants rather than run away.
Yeah.
But that then consumes a glyph slot that you could be using something else for.
That's a major, is it? Yes, it is.
It's a major, yeah. Yep. Alrighty, so I'd go Shadow Fury.
Yeah, I only like a passive and a stun. That's good, I like that.
Yep. So far, so good. Alrighty, next one, I'm going with Sacrificial Pact. This is a 1 minute cooldown, so it is a spell. And basically, your demon will sacrifice 25% of its current health to shield you for 400% of the health that got sacrificed.
See, I'd have chosen the one because it's a big number.
Right. It's bigger than 30. Yep.
It's bigger than 30. Good choice. Go for that.
Go for that one. Next layer down, I'm going to...
Can I just say, I love the the idea that it says, if you have no demon, your health is sacrificed instead. I'm going to be honest, I ain't clicking that if I've got no demon. Oh, dear Lord.
Unbound Will is the one that I like on the next tier, the level 60 tier. Yeah. So that's going to purge all magic effects, movement impairing effects, and basically anything that causes you to lose control of your character. So it's one of those ones you probably never picked because when you're out questing and farming, you don't really care about that. But when you're in dungeons and raids, that can come in darn handy. So that's probably one you're going to stick on your bars and forget that it's there. And when I'm yelling, unbound will, you'll go, I don't know where that one is. Sorry.
Still in the book.
Still in the book.
Doesn't matter. So what we were talking about earlier is Burning Rush. That's the one you were talking about earlier.
Burning Rush was the one I was talking about where you can rush through the cage. So a speed boost, also a great benefit in, because the thing with these talents now is they're all basically situational. I mean, if you might get into a raid and have a good stock of Tomes of the Clear Mind because in each fight that you do, you know, there might be some reason why your warlock needs to move really fast and you don't care about losing health. And so you're going to pick Burning Rush. You know, whereas other ones you might get feared, and so using Unbound Will is going to be the one that you want for that fight.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I like about how they're doing the talents now. You can change them in and out all the time.
Yeah, I can certainly see switching between that and Burning.
Okay, the level 75 one. I'm going to go with Grimoire of Sacrifice.
Jeez, that's a tough old flavor text.
Yeah. It's either that or Grimoire of Supremacy, also a good one. The sacrifice one, I actually chose that probably more for the Green Fire than anything else. Okay. Because when you're doing the Green Fire quest, you actually enslave a demon, and so you can't have your minion out. Yeah. So you might as well sacrifice him and get a benefit from it. Whereas if you aren't going to enslave anything, then you know there's good reasons to pick Grimoire of Supremacy because that basically just makes your demons 20% better.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly what I use for demonology.
Right, yeah. That's always a good thing. Yeah. So they're your talents. You might want to dual spec on your destruction side.
Okay.
Alrighty. Yeah, like glyphs those. Looking.
I like all those.
Glyphs. We're going to go with Glyph of Conflagrate.
Conflagrate.
Yeah, I add an extra syllable in there for some reason.
You're supposed to add an O on it.
I also say conflagrate, but it is just conflagrate. You're quite right.
Conflagrate. Supposed to add an O on the end. Conflagrate. But I could spend many an hour on the Australian ability to make everything sound like a question. But I won't.
All right. We'll touch on that another time.
Yeah.
Okay. So Glyph of Conflagrate. Conflagrate. Means that that's the one, bastard. You no longer need to have an immolate or immolarelato on a mob in order to snare it. So that's kind of nice not to have to have that up, even though you probably want him laid up on things that you're fighting anyway.
Yeah. It's certainly very early on in the rotation.
Glyph of Siphon Life. So your immolate spell will heal you for 0.5% of your maximum health
whilst
doing the periodic damage.
I like that.
So anything that's just giving you back health while you're doing damage always a good thing.
Do you think they sort of conflict with each other? Well, I would have Immolate on, not only for the fact that Immolate is a nice dot, but also it's giving me 0.5% health back with this Siphon Life. And so the ability to snare with the Conflagrate without the Immolate probably would never come into play.
Well, but it might not be the mob that you're currently attacking that you've put an Immolate on. It might be some other mob that's in your way that you want to...
Okay, okay. I didn't realize we were going to be fighting multiple mobs, but yeah.
Yes, fighting multiple mobs is more than just doing Rain of Fire, sorry to say.
I might even have to put Rain of Fire on my bar.
And your last major glyph, there's a few choices that you could have here, but one that I particularly like is the glyph of Soulstone.
Yeah.
Because the by default, when you res somebody with your Soulstone, they don't come back with 100% health.
No.
And if they come back and they're still standing in the stupid or, get hit straight away and they die again, it was a pretty good waste of your Soulstone.
They only come back with 60% health.
So come back with 100% health. Yeah, wonderful thing.
60% health and only 20% mana.
Yeah, oh, I hate coming back to life with no mana. So that's why I love it when a druid battle reses me and they've got the talent that brings us back with 100% health and mana. So
this just affects health though. So
and your minor glyphs, pick what you like on your minor glyphs. So don't. None of them really have a huge effect on your gameplay. Glyph of Enslaved Demon, you're going to want that for your Green Fire quest because it reduces it halves the time that your cast time on Enslaved Demon takes.
Mm.
So you're going to want to be enslaving that demon as fast as possible. But I pick cute ones like Nightmares that my Dreadsteed can run on water with flames. That's really cool. And I like a glyph of gateway attunement, so I can just run up my gateways and have them work for me without having to click on them.
Lazy.
Yeah, super lazy.
I like this glyph of unending breath. It gives you, when you give the unending breath to someone, or yourself, I guess, you go 20% faster swimming.
Well, yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, still not fast enough to catch that stupid shark out on the Timeless Isle.
Stupid shark.
There's some bug where just the water walking just won't work for me. And it's let me down a few times. Uh-huh. There was a rare spawn on out in the pirate ship, and I could see its health. I've got it targeted, and its health is going down and going down. And I'm trying to swim out there and I'm on my mount and I'm trying to jump up and get on top of the water. And it's just when I desperately want to be able to run on water to get out somewhere fast, it never works. I think it's
always the way, isn't it?
Knows when I'm in a hurry. It just likes to cause me grief.
Yep. He's clicking fast.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He's got it targeted and he's pressing down really, really hard on the W key. So I think you should dual spec, give yourself a destruction spec, grab those talents, grab some those glyphs. I can make you most of those glyphs if you don't already have them. But
I'm going to ask you to do that even if I do have them.
Sell them on the auction house. Make a fortune out of this. In general, what I'd have to say to everybody for 5.4 is do check your glyphs because they changed a ton of glyphs. In 5.4, and you may no longer be using a glyph that you thought you were using, or maybe they changed what a glyph did, and so you've got this weird-ass glyph in some slot.
Yeah.
So double-check your glyphs. Check sites like Icy Veins and Well Popular and Elitist Jerks to see what the current thinking is on the best glyphs for your class and spec.
I'm looking at Icy Veins Destruction Warlock at the moment. Icy Veins breaks it down.
Does it say anything like what I said, or is it like completely different?
It's very close. Certainly on the talent side, and quite a bit on the glyph side as well. So yeah, I mean, they have, like you said, there's always going to be some debate about what's best.
But, yeah, and I think that's a good thing. You know, back when it was like this is the only spec you should choose to get maximum DPS, and these are the only talents you should take, and these are the only glyphs you should use. I mean, it made it pretty boring.
Yeah, they cookie cutter.
Yeah.
That's how well popular really made its money or made its bones, because it was so cookie cutter. Fortunately, they've adapted now to.
But you're right, and like in WoW Popular, is it a self-fulfilling prophecy that
exactly? You get some
slight majority of people that's configured that way, and so people go to WoW Popular and go, "Well, look, that's the best way," and so they do that, and it just pushes them out further and further in the lead.
Yeah.
When in fact it's nothing like what is the best. So I don't know if they've got some mechanic that can counteract that.
Yeah. I don't know, but it does always worry me that someone somewhere has said, "Oh, this is a good one," and as you say, just it self perpetuates. Everybody.
Thinks yeah.
But I think the most important thing, and one thing I need to do more of, is instead of just going to Icy Veins and seeing, "Oh, whether it's click this talent, click that talent," is learn the talent. Learn exactly what you're learning. I mean, the fact that the first one is passive is great, but the others are not passive, and they're obviously used situationally. And that if you're not understanding the situation they're best used in, and also, I mean, you could be clicking that other one, that conflagrate one, to the cows come home, but it's no good. It only works in certain situations. Certain things have to be in place for you to really give you the benefit. And I think that's a huge thing to learning your class.
And I think that's something that I don't know that it actually does it, because I've only played it with a little bit. But that I can see like that would be a great thing for them to do with the proving grounds, to add mechanics in there that where you get to use the talents that you've got. And teach you to teach your class more than just teaching you to maximize your DPS.
Yeah, I kind of thought that's what it was going to be. I thought this is my speculation, and we'll certainly add this to the X Files of speculation. My speculation with Proving Grounds was that at some stage Blizzard was going to understand the vast learning curve or the vast grindy curve for you to go from 1 to 100, which is likely to be what the next expansion gives us. And that rather than saying, "Okay, you're level 1, you're going to have to go through and get to 100 in order to start playing the game or the end game," you can have a level 80 or you can have a level 90.
Yep.
But you're going to have to get gold on the proving ground. It's a bit like the way the Death Knights worked, that there was a whole series of questing before you were able to leave the closed off area to prove that you could play the Death Knight because you're coming in.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I was hoping that Proving Grounds would be. And that it was almost like you get your learner plates and that you can do certain things within the game, but you can't queue up for an LFR, for instance, or you can't take part in certain events which require you to be at least relatively skilled and understanding of your class. And that the way you could do that, the way you could get rid of those learner plates, is go through a proper proving ground, not just for your role, your DPS healer or tank, but your actual class. Like you just said, like you go through as a warlock, a destruction warlock, and it gives you all the things.
Teach you actually how to use all your talents. Yeah, that would be brilliant.
Yeah, I know. But whether they do it or not, that's a whole different thing. But that would have been brilliant. Because the biggest argument that everybody gives, and the reason that we're starting a noob to lead at 85 and not jumping straight at 90, is that you just don't have the opportunity to learn your class if you go straight in at 90. Whereas, and I can understand the frustrations of people having to run LFRs with people who are not maximizing their class. I mean, it must be very annoying. And I understand some people in LFRs are quite vocal about it being quite annoying.
It's extremely vocal.
Extremely vocal, yeah. So anything that could say, "Well, listen, I am a new 90, but here's my certificate of proving grounds," or whatever, we'll make that go away and not have people go, "Where are
my credentials?" Yeah, so. Well, maybe they'll Maybe they've got that on the whiteboard, and it's something that they'll add.
Yes. Well, I certainly hope so.
Mm. So speaking of LFR, a funny thing happened on the way to the ding.
Yeah. Ding.
I got a little story to tell this week. Not so much and it wasn't actually leveling. It was in LFR, so I was actually max level. But I didn't get to do any dungeons this week with my mate. He abandoned me, so.
I am ill.
I have to go do some LFR.
I am ill and I'm playing Mass Effect 3. Oh, no. Certainly not doing that at the moment.
No, not right now. So this isn't so much funny.
No! Oh, sorry.
Are you a femship?
No. Although I did hover over the femship when I was creating my character. No, I went for a male ship.
Fair enough.
Actually, I didn't change them at all, because some of the ugly manifestations that end up in Mass Effect 3 need shooting in the back of the head and dragging out the backyard and digging in the hole. So I left him exactly as he is.
Fair enough.
As God intended.
Go with the defaults. So this isn't so much a funny story as an interesting insight into human psychology. So I queued up for LFR and we got a fresh start all the way back at the start. And I actually found out this week that what I said last week, that I did the first boss and dropped out, it wasn't actually the first boss, it was the second boss.
Hmm.
But this week I queued up and it was the first boss. And this group one-shot the first boss. And I'm like, oh, great, we've got a good solid group here. Just one shot it. First time a lot of us have seen it. Way we go. Off to the second boss that we one shot last week, the Fallen Protectors. And we wiped.
Oh dear.
Oh, that's no good. And then, so one of the tanks dropped immediately. A couple of minutes later, a couple of the healers dropped off. A DPS or two dropped off. And another couple of DPS. We're sitting there in the queue. And another couple of healers drop off. Another couple of DPS drop off. And we get down and... Actually, we'd wiped twice at this point. We get down and it was me and one other DPS that's left in this group. And eventually... like, and when I say eventually, it was 20, 30 minutes later... And I was kind of like, I'm just interested to see what happens here, because I was multi-boxing. I was, you know, out on the timeless aisle, picking up leather and chests and things. I was having a grand old time. So eventually this LFR, filled back up again, all bar one tank. So we had one tank. We had all our healers. We had all our DPS, and people waited for a couple of minutes and went, "What? Two stacks of determination? This group must suck." And I'm trying to say, no. It's like, I'm the only one left from the original group. Everybody else dropped out. I'm here with two free stacks of determination. You know, you get for free. This is a fresh group. You know, it's not a fail group. Nah, wouldn't listen to me.
Oh,
and before even pulling, that group fell apart as well.
Wow.
So by this stage, I'm sitting there in this LFR queue for over an hour. And what would happen, every time someone left the group, the queue timer restarted. So it didn't say I've been in the queue for 45 minutes. It says I've been in the queue for 30 seconds. I'm like, I haven't been in queue for 30 seconds. I've been here for over half an hour. What's going on? And so I don't know whether it's like completely bugged and I'm getting pushed back to the end of the queue, or whether we're still at the front of the queue, or what's going on.
Wow.
But over an hour later, finally get a third group together with our two stacks of determination. And we charge in, and one of the tanks says, "Can someone explain the fight to me?" You know, clearly doesn't know the fight. Everyone ignores him, and the other tank pulls. Yeah, guess what? We wiped again. Funny about that. Five wipes later, with seven stacks of determination, we eventually got them down. And I'm like, so I was in that LFR, doing this boss fight that I'd actually already done that week. And so I wasn't going to get any loot from it anyway. And, wiping just time after time, after each wipe, that explains some other mechanic that either the tank needed to know or the healers needed to know, and, people were ignoring it. And I don't know, I don't understand why people, it's been out for a week, right? You can't possibly be at a point where you can ignore even the smaller amount of mechanics that are in LFR. And people just seem to ignore it and expect that they can just stand there and they're going to win.
Yeah.
And I've got 7 stacks of determination that proves otherwise. But, I lived up to those determination buffs, and I was determined to get through it. So I'll tell you what, even with 7 stacks of determination, if you're not doing the right thing, doesn't matter whether you've got 35% increase to damage and healing, you still fail. There's like 3/4 of the raid was still dead. We only got through with 7 stacks by the skin of our teeth.
So when the second group came in and saw that you only had 2 stacks, why? Surely that was good, wasn't it? That means that you were...
No, it means that the groups, they come in and they think, oh, this is a fail group because they've already wiped twice. I'm not going to waste my time here.
Ah, see, Jesus, if you'd lost people at 6 or 7.
Yeah, that's right. They'd never stay in. That's what I thought the whole point of the determination stack was, to stop groups falling apart.
Mm.
But it almost seems to have sometimes the opposite effect. There's this psychological, oh, this must be a fail group, even though I was the only one that was left from the original group that wiped those 2 times.
And the annoying thing is, because it threw you straight back into the LFR queue, it should have really wiped those stacks, shouldn't it? It shouldn't. I mean, I don't...
Well, yeah. But given that it was just me...
Yeah.
I was basically walking into an LFR that had 24 other people in it, and bringing my 2 stacks of determination to spread around merrily.
Yeah, people are funny, aren't they?
Mm.
And I imagine the reason it was throwing you back in the queue because the system goes, "Oh, 2 stacks fail."
Well, it really felt like the queuing was bugged.
Yeah.
Because because it was early in the week, and for a brand new raid. And it wasn't peak times, but it wasn't, 4 a.m. or anything crazy like that. I'd expect the raid to fill up again in less than an hour. So I'm not sure if something's bugged there or not, but it was an interesting experience, that's for sure.
Well, I think we certainly go with the word bugged and not it looking at you and thinking, you don't deserve to go early.
You suck.
He's Maui boxing. He's Maui boxing.
he's out in the timeless aisle. He's out in the timeless aisle skinning other people's leather.
Make him wait.
Bastard.
And now it's time for Ask A&J.
I didn't hold my nose that time.
What were you holding?
I just kind of cupped my hands around my mouth.
Okay, good. Yeah. Sounded like you put yourself into a plastic bag. Bumpers, people. Loving your work, Lita. We could just do with a few more. So this is the Ask A&J section, and we do have a email and a half from our good friend, Eranth, or Wolf Brother. He has another name as well. He has a few of them, actually.
It's a little He's got plenty of names.
Slippery character. But here goes his email. Hail and well met. Hail and well met. You have to say it like that. Just like you just got off a horse.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't introduce himself with moo, because he frequently whispers me in-game with the greeting of moo.
So you're not the only one, then. So, the Timeless Isle. Well, I have to say they've done a very interesting job with this one. I think the quests are okay. The Discovery-type quests aren't as fun as I thought they might be, to my point of view. Now that we're into the second week, we get to recycle some of the quests from the first week and kill more stuff for stones and such. Yeah, they keep ramping up those stones, don't they? Plus, more there's stones. That rep grind with the Emperor. 5 or 6 or 11 rep points of mob kill? Wow. It did go much, much faster in a group of 5 random folks from AIE. It was uplifting, by the way, to get a random invite from a guildie just because of the tag over my head. Yeah. I should do that. I should fake an AIE tag. The funny part was, at one point, there were 2 AIE groups in the area working, and it was one of those slay them all, let order sort them out moments. But there was a lot of flashing going on there.
Let's see how many we can tag.
Yeah. Everybody's going, bloody AIE. What has the AR done for me? Well, in a week before the patch dropped, I actually got a second character to 90. So now both Wolf Brother, my paladin, and Eranth, my hunter, are 90. Teleprillion. She wants another 92. Smiley wiki face. Yes, congratulations. And good choice with the hunter there. Lord knows what you're thinking with the paladin, but good choice with the hunter. I ground out the most of the last 5 levels by dungeon and doing quests while waiting for a dungeon queue. That said, Wolf Brother went to the Isle first, collected a bunch of timeless male armor pieces, and sent them to Eranth. Well, that's useful. So Eranth hit the ground running with all purples, save his rings, trinkets, neck piece, and weapon. That is pretty good going. Yeah. to fill up all the other armor slots. Because actually trinkets, I mean neck piece, I've not seen, weapon you have to buy. Trinkets are, you have to choose who gets them, and same with the rings.
Rings, yeah. So, I've wanted to try and see if I can completely gear out some toons that I haven't geared at all since I hit level 90, like my priest, for example. But I'm being rather stingy with the rings and trinkets because the drop rate's just too low.
You have to, because you have so few of those when you finish up. Yeah, you have to. Since then, I've been collecting lots of leather with Eranth, picked up a ring and neck piece. Oh, yeah. He did. And upgraded my weapon to the one you can buy with timeless coins. Blimey, he has been doing a lot of skinning.
Yeah.
That gets into about eye level 488. About the only thing I see useful for Wolf Brother on the Timeless Isle is for him to collect timeless coins, so he can get enough to buy those curios that upgrade a timeless isle armor piece to 533. I want to say that's probably 535.
I guess he means the burdens.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're expensive, though. When you buy them, they're 50,000 or something. So.
Just play the casino, mate.
Yeah.
You'd be right.
So, I'm sure he's gone out to the other place. Since most of his gear is in the 502 to 522 range. Oh, so he's pretty well geared anyway.
Pretty well geared.
Six. It's not great. I've noticed that a number of those wonderful chests that you find about the aisle, not the moss-covered ones, will respawn for you each week to re-loot. I don't think I've seen any gear from them, but there's gold, coins, and so forth. Nice. I anticipate that the leather market will make a huge decline since there's more leather available for skinners than should be illegal. It's true enough. Weirdly, there's no cloth on the island. Was that you said that last week?
No, I didn't, but I have noticed that.
I was trying to think who said that. Somebody said that. Anyway, it's a good point and true. There's no cloth on the island.
Yeah, because I've been having to buy wind wool of the auction house for my tailor cool down, and the price of cloth's gone through the roof.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because everybody's shifted over to the aisle, and only the people collecting it are those that are still out in Pandaria. So there you go. I'll teach you.
I.e., nobody.
Nobody. 6 people. Bots. I was surprised to wake up to find my mailbox full of gold from leather auctions that sold. Jeppy, have you noticed any shifts?
Was me.
Oh, was it? It's nice.
Yeah, I bought it all because, this is a great time for collect leather, but you got to think about it. This is a great time to buy all the leather because once people stop going out to the aisle
and drop
people
off.
Still want to make their leatherworking upgrades, they're going to want to buy the leather. So,
you're buying it
by the stack loads.
Buying it in anticipation of selling it or using it for your leather working?
Using it for my leather working.
Okay. Jeppy, have you noticed any shifts in the various markets with the opening of the new patch and the Timeless Isle? Well, we just mentioned the big one I've noticed, which is the cloth market.
Cloth, yep.
Yeah, so that seems up. And there are a few other things that people are being drawn away from areas of farming. And also, I've noticed
there hasn't been massive price increases, but the amount of gems and enchants that sell obviously is going up because people are getting gear for alts and gearing up as well, as well as doing LFR and getting new gear and needing to stick gems in those.
Yeah.
Belt buckles, you know, leg enchants, all that kind of stuff is selling really well.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what it's like in about 4 weeks' time when patterns start to shift again back to their mains and see how the market goes. I worry that there was going to be a sudden massive stagnation up until the point where there's a new expansion. So if you're going to make money, maybe it's best to be making it now.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's always the short number of weeks after a patch comes out is the best opportunity to make big bucket loads of gold, and everything just levels out again.
Mm. Bucket loads of gold.
Mm. Mossy chests loaded with gold.
Gorge. There was some hope that we'd see some interesting patterns drop for level workers on the R, but I have yet to see one. Well, you can tell him why that is, can't you?
Didn't think that they were intending that. You get the main leatherworking patterns that drop that teach you how to make the new sort of leather. Mm. And then you have to do that every day and you'll learn PvP stuff as you go. But I don't think there's not more. It's just that one drop, and there's no more drops that are going to be out on the aisle.
Yeah, so all the patterns are coming from the learn you get.
Yeah,
you
create, you're just learning them. Yeah.
So he says, being a fresh 90 still, I don't have much more than PvP blues that I can make as far as level working gear. And sadly, that's all you'll have by the sound of it. So. And he says he hopes that changes, but it won't. Because I...
Well, you get the... There are some high-level epics. I forget what item level it is. But there are two or three PvE... Yeah, awesome epics that you can make that need the new sort of leather. And that's, you'll learn that one randomly as well instead of a PvP one day.
Oh, that is pure RNG, is it?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go. So it's creating those new bits of leather and just hoping for a purple.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, hasn't happened for me so far. I'm just getting blue PvPs.
I've got one. Okay. Forget which bit it was, but yeah, I've learnt one so far.
He goes on to say, I'm a bit amazed by how well the phasing is working on the aisle. The zones that you're phasing in can't be more than 50 or 60 meters yards across. Mounted up, you can see a bit of lag in the zoning of the aisle if the zoning of the aisle is busy. Lots of folks in the zones you're moving through. Okay, right. However, the lag hasn't really been enough to really cause a problem. It has actually been very smooth.
It has been, and I hadn't really even noticed the zoning, to be honest, and the phasing.
No.
So I've done quite a bit of riding around on my two-seater mount, and normally if there's phasing and zoning, I'll get disconnected or dropped out or whatever, and I haven't had any of that happen.
I'm trying to think what would be necessary to phase. I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, I can't really imagine any phasing. I can imagine zoning if it's like a really busy part of the aisle, but
yeah, I mean, you can certainly
know that they do it down to that granularity.
You can certainly see a bit of lag when there's tons of people around, but nothing major, nothing that you'd expect. So even in the first few days when there were literally, you know, thousands of people trying to get to the same spot.
Yeah,
so, I say literally in the sense that there may have been about 400, but anyway. With all these things going on with the Timeless Eye, I still have to work Erenth through the legendary quests with the Black Prince. I need a cure for more LFR, I suppose.
Yes. Yes, you do.
I'm looking forward to the show. Be well. Erenth / Warbrother ARE Irvin Ring. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
Lovely to hear from you.
Yeah, I think...
And yes, you do need to work on your legendary quests. I was hoping that I would get some more of the drops out of LFR this week. Sadly, none for me. So I'm still sitting at 7 of 12. It's going to be another few weeks by the looks of things before I can get to the next stage.
Has it slowed down? Or?
No, they just didn't increase the drop rate at all. Yeah. I was hoping that maybe they'd increase the drop rate, but it doesn't look like they have.
Mm. Well, I guess that, you know, there's no rush for, I mean, they don't want you to rush through the legendary part of the quest.
The thing I'm worried about is that the one of the phases I'm coming up to is you've got to fight all of the Celestials out of Timeless Isle.
Yeah.
So it's going to be...
Not on your own.
Yeah. No, not much.
Yeah.
If I wait too long, then you're going to get to the point, you know, like poor old Galleon and the Shah, where no one's doing them anymore. So.
Yeah, but also you've got to imagine that lots of people are in the same situation you are in.
But it's just means it's going to be harder to get groups together. But I mean, that's the good thing about AIE.
Yeah.
People all band together and help with that sort of stuff.
And people are going
over. I know there's people that are behind me because I can see Strumpet coming fast up my rear as she catches up and completed the Nalik quest this week. Congrats to her. She actually managed to do the solo scenario with the blacksmithing, the proper way to do it rather than the cheap way that I did it. So props to her.
Mm. And if anybody wants to come fast up your rear, then I'm sure Strumpet is one of those people.
High on the list.
It just seemed to me, and I'm probably misremembering it, but you're getting a more drops of that particular item early on.
I get them confused now. I think it was the secrets that I needed 20 of that I was getting. I was actually doing really well on the drop rates for those.
Okay.
Whereas this is, the hell is it? I can't remember. I should have that information to hand, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
But I need 12 of somethings now, and the only guaranteed drop is from the last boss in the last wing of Throne of Thunder. Every other boss is just a chance to drop one. So that basically means I'm getting one a week. So worst case, it's going to be another 5 weeks before I get past this stage.
Oh, yeah, the Celestials will be done then. They'll be just sat around reading newspapers.
No!
It's just you. They'll be like, come on!
See, so that probably raises a good point that I've put in the show notes every week and not talked about it. So we'll do it this week. And that is about the world bosses. So now you've got the Celestials out there. And you've still got Nalik that people do sometimes, mainly because they need it for the legendary quest chain as well. But then you've got poor old world bosses like Galleon and the Shah that basically nobody does anymore. Which is a shame because there's obviously achievements, there's, you know, potential gear that they can drop that, you know, obviously isn't going to be necessarily an upgrade given the massive amounts of alt gearing that you can do out in the Timeless Isle. But it still got me thinking that it would be really good if Blizzard did something where all those world bosses in a tier of expansion, so from the Shah up, all had a chance of dropping level appropriate gear for your character.
Based on current level.
So your current eye level range. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you go out and you're on a super geared Siege of Orgrimmar, got all my tier set for it, but I'm going to go out, I'm going to help, you know, some new 90s that want to do the Shah and get some drops, it should scale and give you a chance to actually get something that's useful to you and be an incentive to help people get down those world bosses that just aren't being touched anymore. I mean, it's like content that just goes by the wayside too fast because we're out leveling stuff and there's easier ways to get things.
Wouldn't you face the problem of people trying to level just with the world bosses, trying to level their gear?
Yeah, but it's still only a chance. I mean, it's the same as if you're just trying to level it back when it was the best way to get gear.
Yeah.
You know, you've still got to have some sort of token to get a, you know, maybe a bonus roll on him, which means you have to have done some dailies.
Yeah.
To get those tokens, and it's not going to be a guaranteed drop. Yeah. You're going to get some gold. Or maybe it's like something completely different. Maybe you get a chance at a pet or some other, just basically some incentive to go back and help out with those world bosses and for people that want to get them done. Because if you're like way behind the curve, and you want to be a completionist and you want to get the quest that the shard drops to get your boots, even though they're not going to be an upgrade. Yeah, why not give the rest of the player base an incentive to help those people?
Yeah, no, I think one of the hardest things an MMO of any length of time faces is incentivizing people to go back and use old content. I mean, we're not even talking about anything that is that old.
Yeah, I'm not talking about old content beyond this expansion. I'm just talking about the earlier parts of this expansion.
Mm. But I think that is certainly one of the hardest things that they have to juggle. Their focus on the current while they still have to make... And what I think a lot of times we don't appreciate, well, I appreciate because I'm one of these people. Lots of people are behind the curve. It isn't like we're the minority. Lots of people, I would say, are not necessarily up to the very current content. They still want to go, like you said, go be a completionist. They still want to do this stuff, but they unfortunately weren't able to do it in the first or second or third wave. And they're still having to... And then they get to the point where, well, there's just no point doing it. You know, and they never see that content.
Well, you just can't.
Yeah. You just can't. Yeah. There's not enough
nobody's people. Doing it.
I mean, I will give you a devil's advocate side of things. I think if you swagger over to one of the world bosses dressed in current gear, Siege of Orgrimmar purples, that when you're attacked by that particular boss, there should be a chance that one of your pieces gets destroyed forever. And that you have to go back and redo it again.
Well, that would certainly ensure that absolutely nobody went anywhere near him.
How dare you swagger over here with all your gear, showing us green-wearing cretins how to play. There, lose your helm.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand that it's difficult. I mean, it's not just changing the loot tables for a boss. I understand that there's other issues to consider as well. You know, for example, when we did Nellik this week to help out Strumpet and a couple of others with the legendary quest chain, I think there was eight of us in the group, and I was on my hunter, Yeah, I'm the true definition of a huntard. I mean, my DPS was probably sub 20k, and for most of the fight, I actually wasn't doing anything because I thought we were just going to. What the plan actually was to pull Nellik and distract him just long enough for them to get their quest done, which only takes less than a minute, and then just pretend to die and run away. But this group of eight decided they'd try and take down Nellik. And they actually succeeded, despite me being in the group on my hunter. And Nellik was a world boss that required a good, solid, full raid group, only one patch ago.
Yeah.
So...
It's hard. Like I say, it's such a hard thing to juggle.
It's a balancing act for sure.
And the eye level.
But, I don't envy Blizzard's job in balancing that. But at the same time, I really want them to.
Mm. They need to, like I said, they definitely need to work out ways to incentivize people to be constantly going back to the content within within the current patch, within the current expansion.
It'd be interesting. So if anybody's got any ideas on that or opposing opinions or suggestions, love to hear from you.
Yeah.
So now we've got a rather touching audio to play. It's not too long. We actually don't want to set the expectation that we will play every audio in their entirety, especially if you send us a 30-minute audio. We're probably not going to play that. But this is Big Steve, and Big Steve, for a number of reasons, it's not 30 minutes, it's only 5 minutes. It's only a short one. But he does deserve some slack to be cut and some kudos. Did you hear Big Steve's submission to Bitter and Salty last week? It was epic. Epic, I tell you.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Mm, definitely. But Big Steve's has sent us in an audio, which is a little bit sad because people are following Big Steve, who's Toastcrawler on Twitter. Sadly, his mum passed away a couple of weeks back. And so he's having a bit of a hard time at the moment. And happily, WoW is keeping him engaged and managing to get him through those tough times in life. And he's going to have a bit of a reminisce about geeking and gaming and his good old mum. So let's throw it away to Big Steve.
Hey, geeks. This is Big Steve. I'm loving the show so far, and I would love to send emails, submit audios, and geek right along with you. But I've had a tumultuous couple of weeks I'd like to tell you about. Not to bring the show down or anything, it's just a little story that has hopefully just enough geek cred to qualify. And I wanted to tell it among friends, as I know they all listen to your podcast. But if you hear a bunch of sniffing, I have a cold. My mom passed away last Sunday, September 15th. She had a recent history of health problems and had been in the hospital several times. She made several miraculous recoveries previous to this, and in fact was on her way to another when the doctor said that an MRI scan had found tumors on her liver. And in a feat of resolve and stubbornness I'd never thought possible, she set off on her way home, as she called it. I took her home, and within 12 hours, she was gone. On her own terms, surrounded by family, no regrets and no words left unspoken. Now, she was born in 1933, and there's not really a delicate way to put it. This would be what we consider ass deep in the Great Depression. She was one of those kids you hear about who walked to school 5 miles uphill, both ways, in a snowstorm. And I think the tech level of the time might have been still the abacus and beating clothes against a flat rock to clean them. So I was surprised when at the age of nearly 50, she became a gamer. Now, she had bought me, against her better judgment, my first Magnavox Odyssey 300 in about 1977. Used, of course. Now, that was a big yellow monstrosity. It looked like a giant bee that was going to kill you with two knobs on it. Basically, it was a giant Pong machine. Played whatever derivatives of Pong there were at the time. I think it was Pong and hockey and more Pong. And then later, Mattel Intellivision, also used, because I was 12 and I demanded superior graphics. Never mind the fact it took my player 4 minutes to run downfield in football. But the ColecoVision is really where the gaming bug bit her. She loved to play Carnival for hours. I'd sometimes catch her up at 2 a.m., and she'd look at the clock and storm off to bed. When we could afford the adapter that allowed you to play 2600 games, the Atari 2600, it was Breakout and Pitfall that held her attention. Next came the NES, and she played Super Mario Brothers until Super Mario Brothers 3 came out, and the entire lifespan of that console was spent playing just those two games. That's dedication right there. By now, she was almost 60, and the Super NES was released, and of course, Super Mario World held her attention along with Donkey Kong Country, and a game called Bubsy the Bobcat. I remember playing that. It wasn't that bad of a game, really. But it was Tetris 2 that became her jam eventually. I still can't play Tetris with any success, but this old lady, who had wiped my bum, not recently, that is, when I was a baby, displayed unparalleled hand-eye coordination when it came to these frickin' falling blocks. I think level 84 was the highest she ever got, and she actually went through two consoles. Did I mention that she also ran an in-home daycare center for 20 children? Now, when the 3D consoles came out, she kind of lost interest because she didn't really enjoy the kind of games that they were playing. But she continued to buy consoles for her older daycare kids to play after school. Now, fast forward to 2011, and her gaming career had hit a bit of a lull. She was tired and didn't get around so well anymore. I had moved in a few years previous to help take care of my dad, who by now had passed away from Alzheimer's, and I was now just caring for Mom, as much as she would let me anyway. I bought her an Android tablet and somehow convinced her that it was not a computer. She hated computers, oblivious to the fact that they had provided her with so much entertainment over the years. She learned how to use Facebook and somehow settled on Slotomania as a diversion. I don't get it either. I'm proud to say, though, that she never spent a dime on in-game currency and had amassed a fortune of 15 million coins, which is a trial of endurance for anyone who's ever played. So even though she started relatively late in life, I like to think she was at least an honorary geek to the end. Now, personally, I've thrown myself into WoW a bit more than usual, and the mindless aisle, air quotes, has been a perfect diversion. It doesn't erase the grief that I need to go through, but it gives me a break. I've only confided in a few people in-game about my mom, but the love and support I've received has been overwhelming. Thank you, everyone. Especially Asheo. Your platonic man hug was so much needed. Seriously. And Lita, I had not at that point received an official Lita huggle, but I still feel its warmth days later. And everyone else, thanks and much love. I can't wait to see everybody in-game.
Wow. Your intro was longer than his actual audio.
It was rather, wasn't it? Sorry about that. I tend to waffle and ramble. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Big Steve. Glad to hear that you're doing okay, as well as can be.
As well as can be expected.
You've got some great memories there of your mum and your geeking gaming history.
And the gift of gaming keeps on giving.
Yeah, I can't imagine my mum... taking up. My mum's got a tablet now as well, but I can't imagine her taking up gaming either now or at any stage in her life. I struggle getting her to use a mouse, let alone gaming. I think I would just like completely throw her for a wobbly.
Yeah, my mum passed a few years ago, and she wouldn't touch. She hated computers. She hated all technology. She almost threw a video recorder out of the window because it just wasn't doing what she thought it was supposed to be doing. She just hated everything. But I did get her. Well, I actually didn't get her. I got one of my nephews a Game Boy, one of the original Game Boys, with Tetris on it. Yep. Couldn't get it out of her hands. She loved Tetris. Only there were other games with it. There were, you know, Game Boy slots the games in. Wouldn't play anything else. Wouldn't even look at anything else. Tetris, 8 hours a day.
Wow. Well, maybe I should get my mum Tetris because Big Steve's mum's into Tetris as well.
Yeah. No, so good stuff.
Excellent. So that's going to do us for this week. We will be taking questions and answers from Twitter. We do have a couple of questions in the queue that we didn't get to this week, but we will get to. Got one from Stevie2K, which it's going to take me at least 2 weeks to sort through all my years of WoW and figure out what my best and worst moments are.
Me too.
I'm pretty sure you're the same.
Yeah. I have no idea what your best and worst moments are, mate. So it's going to take me
it's going to take me to figure out what yours are. Probably something that happened this week.
I have a very short-term memory.
BioShock Infinite or something that you'll be playing.
BioShock Infinite. It looks gorgeous on this machine.
So, yes, if you do have feedback and questions for us, please hit us up on the Twitters, WoWGeekly. So until next week, when we come out with episode 3+1, I've been Asheo. Thanks for listening.
And I've been Jeppy. Conflagrado, mate.
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter, where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at the Shayo and at LJeppy. Or if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both.
Upload complete.